Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Friday. Jimmy Johnson next hour. Michael Rappaport this hour. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio and right here, FS1. Good stuff today. NBA news, NFL. Huge, huge NFL weekend. Also, Bama plays Georgia. Bama's favored, but Nick Saban will not be coaching on the sidelines. I'll take Bama in that game. Georgia's always been really good. They're just fortified with all these great recruits, but they in big spots, I never quite trust Georgia. You know how certain people just shrink a little in big spots? Alabama tends to give me a little more in big spots. Georgia shrinks a little, so I'll take Alabama. Joy Taylor joining me today.
They don't have Nick Saban.
I don't know. Steve Sarkisian's been in the program. He's been a head coach. They're fine. So this weekend, you're just watching NFL mostly?
Well, I'm going to watch the Bama game also.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's very good football. This is a really good
great
weekend.
Great games this weekend.
And it's chilly. It's getting, and even in Los Angeles, I think Saturday, Sunday, it comes down a little in
does
temperature.
Does it? Because it's crazy hot right now.
Well, you know, it's funny about Los Angeles. Our hottest month is often September and October.
Yeah.
Like June gloom, you get a lot of...
Our summer starts later.
Yeah, summer starts later in Los Angeles. So nobody wants to hear about that. All right, here we go. Off a crappy week. It's time to get my act together. Here's my Blazing Five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Fire. Browns at Steelers.
It's been an offensive league so far. I'm going to take Pittsburgh minus four here. Baker Mayfield is not 100%. That leads me to believe they'll keep him out of the crosshairs. Have a pretty conservative game plan for Kevin Stefanski, who's had more success this year. When they've been conservative, run it over, pass it. Big Ben has owned the Browns forever. But what I like this year, Big Ben... highest completion percentage and passer rating of his career. The mistakes are way down. The Steelers lead the NFL with 20 sacks and 70 pressures, and their rush defense is great and will force Baker to play fast. As Greg Cosell told us, he doesn't play well fast. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to cover, win by a touchdown, 28-21.
Broncos at Patriots.
Like New England, I love New England minus 9.5. Don't fight it. Young quarterbacks get annihilated by Belichick. All of them. Patrick Mahomes still struggles with Belichick. Drew Lock for Denver is not 100%. He is going to struggle. By the way, everybody always thinks New England never plays well at Denver. Denver's awful at Foxborough. Patriots average 39 a game, 5-0, with a massive turnover differential. And this Broncos offense is prone to mistakes. The Patriots, extra time. This is a big game now because Buffalo is a real football team, and you want to win this division. I love New England in a blowout this weekend, 32-16.
Ravens at Eagles.
I'll take another favorite. Baltimore minus 7.5. Baltimore is not as dynamic offensively as last year, but their defense has been great at creating turnovers. They're second in the NFL creating turnovers. They're also top five in sacks. What does that mean? Well, Lane Johnson missed practice this week for the Eagles. They continue to struggle with health with wide receivers and O-line. And the Ravens have won 13 games by 14 or more start of last season. Don't sell all your stock. The Eagles are feisty, but remain turnover-plagued on offense, and John Harbaugh's never shy to pile it on. He wants this offense to get their confidence back. If he leads, Harbaugh will pile it on. Baltimore wins by 10, 33-23.
Packers and Bucks.
I know a lot of wise guys like the Buccaneers. I'll take Green Bay to win this game minus one. First of all, the Packers do one thing really well. Well, multiple things, but you can't get to Aaron Rodgers, and they get to your quarterback. So Aaron will be the more comfortable quarterback this weekend. Passing yards, passer rating, yards per attempt. The Packers are the most explosive offense, yards per play in the league. And Devontae Adams is back. He wanted to play 2 weeks ago, and the coaches wouldn't let him. I still think this is an offense in Tampa that is growing. Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, still not 100%. I like the Packers in this huge game on Fox to win 27-24. It's lower scoring than people think, but I've only got to give up one. I'm taking it.
Rams at 49ers.
What do I always say? Bet a well-coached team that was humiliated the week before. I'm going to take the Niners plus 3.5. This division's the best in football. This is a must-win. This is the season for the Niners. It is a must-win for the Niners. This is a loaded division. If they don't win this weekend, they're an uphill battle for a wild card spot. And by the way, their defense is still playing good football despite what you saw last week. Top five in total yards allowed, passing touchdowns allowed. Garoppolo has faced this defense before with Sean McVay. He's 3-0. Garoppolo participated fully in practice this week. Raheem Mostert, 100-plus scrimmage yards last 3 weeks. They still run the football well. They're still well-coached. They still play really good defense. They don't have quite the pass rush. The Rams are a good football team, but the urgency here is the Niners. It's the game of the season. They have to win, and I'm going to take an upset. I call one every week. San Francisco 26-24 over the Rams. People in L.A. must think I just hate the local teams. I didn't like the Lakers this year. I keep betting against the Rams, but 3.5, the hook is too much for me. All of our odds are provided by FoxBet, and go to their social platforms at FoxBet to see some additional opportunities for you. Speaking of L.A. teams, Ty Lue is going to just agree to a 5-year deal for the Clippers. And a story came out yesterday that, according to a report, that players like Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams were not happy last year with Doc Rivers allowing Kawhi Leonard to get special treatment, miss a lot of practices, miss games, be late to flights. The issue here, and this is not going to change much, is that the Clippers were a bunch of underdogs. It's a bunch of Patrick Beverleys. It's a bunch of Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. It's a bunch of underdogs, and that's what they created. And let's be honest about this. Kawhi Leonard is sort of odd. He's nonverbal. He's the only NBA star. You're not sure if he's going to play. He's different. He's not real communicative. That's who he is. And we've said this before. We know that Russell Westbrook is intense. No coach has changed him. We know Ben Simmons is kind of aloof. No coach really changed him. What Kawhi Leonard is unique and nonverbal. And Greg Popovich struggled with it. And what was interesting is he was a mercenary in Toronto. He was just asked to come, score buckets, make defensive play. That's all he was asked. He was not asked to be a team leader. Be a mercenary. And he was great. And in San Antonio, he was not asked to lead the team. They had Duncan. They had veterans. They had Pop. They had Tony Parker. The challenge for Ty Lue is this player is now asked to be a leader and more verbal and more communicative. And that's not really what Kawhi Leonard is. That's not who he is. He's just a get a bucket, get a stop guy, and he's fantastic at it, as good as anybody in the NBA. But I do think there is a certain tension in this organization when your star is not overly communicative, is the only star in the league that wants lots of days off. I think that's a tense situation. I think it's like the Rams with Todd Gurley. There's a little walking on eggshells going on, and the locker room and the chemistry was not right. Now, can Ty Lue forge through that? Ty is very confrontational. Doc Rivers tends to he's more appealing to veterans. He'll appease veterans. Ty Lue won't. Ty will get after it. He'll argue with LeBron. He'll get right in his face. So I do think Jerry West talked Steve Ballmer into this hire. The owner wanted Jeff Van Gundy. Jerry West wanted, according to reports, Ty Lue. And I would guess one of the reasons Jerry West liked Ty Lue is Ty's a little more confrontational. He'll get after Paul George. He can get after a Kawhi Leonard and get right in his face and tell him what I need. And I think that's probably the remedy for what ails this franchise. They're still very good. But I've seen this a lot in pro sports, is that personalities are formed when you're kids. Like your personality is largely formed by the time you're 9 years old. You could go ask a child psychologist. What you are at 9 and 10 it's largely what you are, different variations of it. You're more mature, obviously, at 29 than 9. You know, your brain forms by 20, 21 years old. But at 9, your personality is largely formed. Hyper kids are hyper adults, you know? Nervous kids are nervous adults. Talkers are talkers by 9. Nonverbal, nonverbal by 9. And I think Kawhi's a very unique personality. It's never going to be easy. There will be walking on eggshells. But I think Ty Lue is the kind of confrontational man that can make it work. And my guess is they won't be as disappointing next year. Coming up next, Michael Rapoport. His New York teams are in the tank. What does he say with LeBron dominating the league? Always an entertaining listen. He joins us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It is the premiere of SmackDown. We're all here live on Fox. SmackDown Live, let me hear you.
Roman Reigns is your tribal chief because this is my island.
Tonight on Fox, it's the season premiere of WWE Friday Night SmackDown. You just saw Roman Reigns, who will defend his WWE Universal Championship title against Braun Strowman for the first time ever on SmackDown. Tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific for a special kickoff show on Fox.
Stone Cold Steve Austin will be there. David Ortiz will be there. And everybody's favorite tight end, George Kittle, will be there.
Oh.
Does Kyle Shanahan know about that? George Kittle, who is crazy funny, will be... He and Gronk... I think Kittle actually is more a WWE guy than Gronk.
Yeah, Kittle's more... Gronk is more of a showman.
Kittle is unhinged.
He could be a villain.
Oh, absolutely. He's unhinged. He's the most... I gave my comeback player of the year most likely to wrestle professionally WWE is George Kittle, and it's not close. So Michael Rapoport's not wrestling. He's doing stand-up in the Bay Area at Tommy T's October 23, 25th. He's an actor, a producer, a writer, and a podcaster as well. And Michael Rapoport is joining me. All right. Well, I know sometimes you're very critical of LeBron, and it must have been kind of painful, let's be honest. Neither one of us thought they would win, right? They did. They did.
Yeah. I wouldn't say kind of painful, sir. I would say very painful. I don't think it was as painful for either one of us as it was for the woman over there. I know she suffered.
Joy suffered.
But I will say this. Listen, I predicted the Clippers and Glenn Rivers. We don't call him Doc anymore now that he's in Philly. Ty Lue to lead their team to a championship. They couldn't do it. They couldn't even make it to the Western Conference Finals. No excuses. No excuses. I said if they did win, I would give them their respect. LeBron James, I'll say this here, Colin. Of course, the media and the critics, they won't use this quote because they always want to go after me as a hater. And I am a hater. I'm proud of being a hater. He's not the greatest player of all time. But I have to say, after everything that he's done year after year after year, and we know he takes care of his body, we know that he has a great trainer. I know there's a lot of other players that have great trainers and take care of their body. What's under the beard? The man just keeps doing it after time when you think he can't do it. He has the greatest career of anybody that's ever played professional basketball. Cumulative. And if you're going to play 43 years like he's playing 43 going into his 44th year and you're that good, you'll make it to the championship as much as he has. They got AD. They didn't get Kawhi. They were the number one seed in the West before the coronavirus. Obviously, the devastating loss for Laker Nation of Kobe Bryant. LeBron was beautiful that night at Staples Center. They overcame adversity. They made it to the bubble. And he arguably had his best season ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we can give MVPs to whoever we want to give MVPs, but he really is the MVP of the Los Angeles Lakers. he needs to give some of that MVP trophy to Rondo, because when the chips started getting weird in the bubble and they got weird for everybody, you know, he started flopping and flailing and looking around and rolling his eyes. Rondo was playoff Rondo. They did it with AD, KCP, the pizza man, Caruso, who I was wrong about. He was a very good defender. He's very consistent, tough-nosed and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the Lakers did it. There's no asterisk. There is no asterisk. But I will say this, and Colin, and you dig deep, you think about these things. Is there another player that they competed against who's ever won an NBA championship during this run besides Iguodala? And he's not the same Iguodala that he was. He's still great. He's a great leader. He's a national book best-selling author, and I love Iguodala. But they didn't compete against anybody else, and you can't choose who you compete against. They dismantled Dame and them. They dismantled the Houston Rockets. Jamal Murray tried his best. They were able to super downsize Jokic. And then they played against a Cinderella team who pushed them to the brink without their leading scorer. And their inside presence was not himself, obviously, with the Miami Heat. That being said, and I'm not taking anything away, and I hope it doesn't seem like I've took anything away, Colin or Joy. They won the championship. And if I had to bet, and I'll ask you this question, because I know you have a lot to say. If you had to pick one player going into next season, whether it starts in December or it's looking like it's going to start in January, if you had to pick one player going into next season, who you'd want to best assure one season that you'd win a championship, who would it be? Because I would say, and I hate saying it, Colin, I would say I would pick LeBron James to be that player to guarantee me a championship next year. And I do not like saying it, my friend.
No, I completely agree, and I didn't think that a year ago. I think when they write the book on LeBron James, the second chapter is availability, durability, never misses a playoff game. And, this bubble really tested people above the shoulders. It was hard. I mean, I've said before, I get tired of Disney World vacationing. The idea of working at it for 3 months, I can't even go there. And I will say this, is that LeBron James medal, the toughness, that to me separated him from Harden, from Kawhi, from Paul George, from Giannis. It wasn't just the physical stuff. That his ability, it's funny, the bubble started out and they didn't play well for the first 2 weeks. They did not. And Avery Bradley opts out. That didn't sit well. They didn't play well initially. It was a young player's bubble for the first month. And something with LeBron, a month in, they flipped a switch. And I thought they were so good mentally. Now, I will say this. He's done a little gloating in the last week, a little gloating. I know you're not a gloater. That probably does not sit well with you.
No, I'm not a gloater. I'm a very shy, humble, humble about my accomplishments, humble about my looks. I could sit here and just pose like, look, I could do that all day.
Yeah.
But that's too easy.
If the
cheekbones, I could go like this. Boom. You got the cheekbones and the jawline. I could do that. I don't use my looks. Listen, He's not going to be the same way Michael, Larry, and those guys are. I don't have a problem with it. I don't know why he's talking about his respect. He wants his respect. Of course you got your respect. He can do what he wants to do. He earned it. And the toughness that a LeBron James shows year after year, when you have the money, you have the contract. You got guys in every sport that when they get the money, they have the contract, they don't care. Tom Brady, he's got the money, he's got the contracts, got the cheekbones, and he's got that thing on his chin. It's not about that for these certain guys, and it's a rarefied air for guys that it's about the winning every single year. And they were the toughest. Obviously, he's got young kids, he's got middle-aged kids, he's got a wife. He didn't want to be there just like no one else wanted to be there. It wasn't the ideal situation. But they did it, and he put the battery in his back of every single one of the other Lakers that chose to show up. No other team did. The Clippers certainly didn't do that, and they were a huge disappointment. You know, the Miami Heat, they have the toughness too. They didn't have the talent. And I can't take anything away from him. He could gloat all he wants You know, I still consider him the fakest guy in the NBA.
Oh, come on.
When his Last Dance documentary comes out and people decide not to be so loyal to him, we're going to find out about what it was really like to play with LeBron James in Cleveland, second time in Cleveland, Miami, Lakers. I'm sure Kyle Kuzma would probably have a lot to say about LeBron James. I'm sure some of these young NBA stars will probably be like, yo, this guy, he ain't what you appear to be. But you know what? None of us are exactly what we appear to be.
That's right.
None of us are. I mean, people see me here. They see a great guy, a sweet guy, a loving guy. I'm tough behind closed doors. I'm tough behind closed doors.
Me too.
Negotiation.
Yeah.
So I could break his chops all he wants. The bubble situation was set up perfectly for him. No distractions. There were no guys on the sidelines with brooms. You know, I brought that broom to Cleveland, and let me tell you something, Colin, enjoy. I haven't been given NBA access since that game in Cleveland. I would get the courtside, I'd get the this, I'd get the tickets, the laminates. I showed up with a broom in Cleveland for game three just to help clean up.
Right,
they did it in five at Oracle. I brought the plunger. You know, they shut me down. That being said, I can't take anything away from what the Lakers and LeBron James did this year. And trust me, I've thought and tried to figure out every single angle that I possibly could to take something away from them. They are the champions, period. That's it. What can I say?
All right. 90 seconds. I want this, though. You're a New Yorker. You live in L.A., but you're a New Yorker. I know. It's funny. They're terrible at everything. So let me just say this. Are you a Giants or Jets fan?
I'm a Giants fan, but I love both teams.
Okay, no, I get it. I think that's cool. I like that. I mean, I root for both teams in L.A. I think it's cool when people root for both teams. Let me ask you this. Let's say the Giants go 2-14, Jets 1-15. Would you move off Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones for Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
Okay, both. You'd move off both.
Yes, I would move more off of Sam Darnold than I would off,
why?
Off Daniel
why?
Jones. But listen, man, look at the, what do you mean? What did you say? You predicted that between the two teams, they'd win three games?
Yeah.
I thought Daniel Jones was going to take a step forward. He hasn't taken a step forward, but I believe in his talent more. Sam Darnold, same thing. Like, I don't think they're that guy. I think they're guys that could, if they continue to be starters, you're never going to get anywhere. We're going to be having this discussion when I start to go gray. And I don't want to continue to have this discussion. Neither one of them are Eli Manning. And, it's disgusting what's going on with New York sports right now.
Terrible.
Between the two of them. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. No. And Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-lifetime guy. So they always say if you know a guy, you can't find a flaw in a quarterback, draft him. And he really doesn't have a flaw. People nitpicked Andrew Luck. The kid doesn't have a flaw. Big, mobile, arm, smart, works
Take
hard.
Take him.
Yeah.
Take him right now.
Yeah,
we would love him in New York for either team. And both teams are suffering, bleeding.
Yeah. All right. He's an actor. He's doing stand-up at the Bay Area October 23-25 at Tommy T's. And we appreciate you having on the show. Hey, the weather's going to cool down in Los Angeles. Why don't you just go for a long walk? You seem stressed out. Go for a nice long walk.
No, I don't. Does my face seem stressed, Colin?
Yeah, totally, completely. So just go for a long walk, chill out a little bit. You seem very stressed. But when your teams all lose, that's what happens.
Colin, what do you do? Wait, let me see. Am I smiling right now? Just try. I'm going to try to smile.
Right. That's not smiling. That is not smiling. That looks, you look grief-stricken and anxiety-ridden. That's not a smile. That's a guy that has all his favorite teams are losing. That's what a smile is for a guy that can't win a bet and can't win a game. So just medicate a little and go for a long walk. I said medicate a little. I didn't say a lot.
All right.
A little
I appreciate a little
melatonin tonight. Get a good night's sleep. Yes. You'll be good. That's what I meant. That's all I
Thank meant. You, guys.
All right, Michael Rappaport, good stuff. RecTech, more than a grill, a lifestyle, smart grill technology. RecTech with a Q.com, RECTEQ.com. Joy Tatum with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, as Michael just mentioned, my Cinderella Heat did lose to the Lakers in the NBA Finals.
They did.
And they have set their sights on Giannis if he enters free agency next year. According to Sham Sharania, Miami wants to go all in to try and land the two-time MVP.
Oh, my God. How good would they be with Giannis? Oh, my Lord.
If I want to make this declaration now, for everyone. If this happens and Giannis ends up in Miami, I will be significantly more obnoxious than I already am.
Let me tell you something. His defense with Jimmy Butler's defense and Spoelstra's and Bam's defense. Well, oh, my God.
Colin, So, you know, the nation doesn't know Miami Big Three Joy. I was insufferable. Now, I've had to be humbled a little bit, yeah. You know, and now we're made back to the finals, but we were a Cinderella team. So, you know, I enjoyed our wins and did my little shimmy. But if we get Giannis, you're not going to be telling, you will be telling me nothing.
Let me tell you something. For all the people that, oh, you should stay in Milwaukee. Are you going to tell me that Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and all those young shooters, Eric Spoelstra, you don't think that's going to be must-see television? They're going to steamroll this league.
It'll be amazing.
They will be.
And they'll be villains because so many people, for whatever reason, want him to stay in Milwaukee.
Well, Miami's a villain city. It's sunny. Oh, it's
listen,
beautiful.
I thrive, honey.
If I was Adam Silver, I'd buy the tickets. That would be. And then if. Oh, my God. In fact, he fits them, I think, better than the Warriors. I told you this before. If I could choose Golden State or Miami, and I'm dead serious about this, I would choose Miami, and taxes would be the reason why. California's going to go to 17%. When you start making $30 million a year, you know how much money that is? So I'm telling you right now, that Pat Riley's got to say, our taxes, their taxes, our winter weather. And I love Golden State. I think California gets in the way of that signing. Giannis should go to Miami.
I'm still not convinced he's going to leave, but if they do pursue Giannis, it could affect Bam Adebayo's status with the team because he's eligible for a max rookie extension this offseason, and that deal could potentially pay him up to $200 million, which would leave Miami with insufficient cap space to sign Giannis.
I love Bam's fine. If you can get Giannis, you move Bam. You have Giannis, Butler, and a host of. They got three young guys who can shoot.
Well, if they extend Adebayo and still try to sign Giannis, they'd have to deal away Tyler Hero and their 2020 first round pick. Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn.
No, I wouldn't do that.
So that's a lot to lose.
Butler, Giannis, and the young kids.
Giannis and Adebayo share the same agent, too. So
I would move off
of
Bam. Bam's a good player, 16 a game, good player. But I want a star in Butler and guys that can shoot. That's my team. That'd be good for the league. Give me another villain.
It'd be great for the league. I love being a villain. Andy Dalton is taking over as the Cowboys' starting quarterback for the rest of the season, and former Cowboy DeMarcus Ware is confident that Dalton is ready to step up as the team's new leader.
I remember playing against Andy Dalton. I mean, he's a beast, and he's, you know, one of those guys where, you know what, just think about how many times somebody's gotten hurt and then that second-string guy go in and just ball out. We wish him well. We're praying for him. But now you got another guy that can come in and still get the job done in Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton was a starter in this league for a long time.
Hey, he won his division twice, and that's the Steelers-Ravens division.
He's not as good as Dak, though.
No, I think Dak's a better quarterback. But the thing about Dalton is, I think there's a perception he's older. He's 32. And in 2020, 32 is like 29 10 years ago.
No, I mean, age doesn't even matter anymore.
It's not really a thing.
It just doesn't. But my thing with Andy Dalton is not that he's not going to be successful with this team. It's not that they're going to win that many fewer games because of Dak. They're going to make the playoffs because the division is terrible. Like,
yes.
I believe they're going to win the division,
yeah,
even with Andy Dalton.
Most people do. Yeah, most people do.
So once they get to the playoffs, that's what the question is. Like, Dak, I believe, can perform in the playoffs and be clutch in a moment that Andy Dalton, I don't believe, will.
Yeah,
Andy, that's why he's a backup quarterback.
Andy is a pocket quarterback in a league that is more progressive than that now, so there are limitations. His ceiling's lower than Dak. But if you're talking about, I'm a point guard and I can distribute to three-point shooters, he's very good at that. That's his thing. He's an accurate thrower. I mean, you see, he's an accurate thrower of the football, and the one thing the Cowboys have that is undeniable, Amari, Cedric Wilson, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, they have easily the best receiving core in the league. They have that Cedric Wilson kid. I mean, I don't even know why they drafted CeeDee Lamb after seeing Cedric. That's a good one, Goulet. Why did they draft CeeDee Lamb if they had on the scout team Cedric Wilson? He looks like a great number three player. He's a terrific young receiver.
Yeah, they also have Zeke.
Yeah.
So they're in good shape. If you're a Cowboys fan, you feel good having Andy Dalton in there.
Yeah.
I just don't think, like you said, his ceiling is as high as Dak's. Finally, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers will meet Sunday for only the third time as starters in their incredible careers. And
that's
Brady,
weird.
It is weird. Brady praised his opponent's skill heading into this highly anticipated matchup.
I think there's a lot to like about his play and his ability to pass football. He's, I think everybody always is pretty much in awe of how he makes it look so easy. You know, just the throwing motion, the velocity on the ball, the placement of the ball. He's, you know, one of the great quarterbacks ever played the game.
Yes, he is.
This is really, this is a treat this weekend.
Oh, this is a great game. Great game. It's kind of the opposite of the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game, which could be a lot of kind of run the ball and pound it. You could get a, you got a lot of star receivers in this one. You got star quarterbacks. Got a lot of good skill people. This could be a lot of flair, a lot of fun.
But just Brady versus Rodgers in a game that matters. It's they're both playing well. It's just,
you know, it's weird.
And they've only played three times. This will be the third time playing.
Always reminds me of Kobe LeBron. Why didn't they meet more? I just don't remember Kobe LeBron games. I just don't. And they were, and it's like Rodgers Brady. This morning I'm like, when's the last time they played? You get sometimes these iconic guys. Like, I always wish we had more Mickelson Tiger Sunday majors. Like, for as long as they played and as great as they were, they would win their tournaments. But I always craved, give me more, like Tiger and Mickelson tied Masters, three holes to go. I always wanted more of that.
We've also talked so much about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and comparing their careers. And for a while, the GOAT before that Atlanta Super Bowl, there was a significant GOAT debate between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Now, he is obviously since separated since that Super Bowl. But yeah, this is going to be a treat for fans. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yep. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Jimmy Johnson last hour. Bucky Brooks played in the NFL, scouted in the NFL. He's going to join me next. Great NFL weekend. We'll break down some thoughts on Rodgers against Brady.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports analyst, played in the NFL, was a scout in the NFL, and he's a guy I trust, gives me all sorts of insight. Bucky Brooks is now joining us. Live, also a high school football coach in LA. All right, so you've been on this thing for a couple years that Brady's kind of a shot fighter, and I will say this, despite the weapons, they are not an elite offense right now. They're 21st in third down conversion rate, 21st in yards per play. So do you feel like, again, to double down, that this Brady can take this offense only so far?
I mean, he's limited, but I think he has enough weapons around him to be able to be successful. I think what you have now is, without a preseason, you have Tom Brady and Bruce Arians trying to figure out the best way to put together this offense. Tom Brady's very comfortable working in the middle of the field. He's very comfortable doing the things that he did in New England for years. Short, intermediate passing game, crosses running over the middle of the field, really keeping everything inside the numbers. Bruce Arians is a vertical guy. He wants to push the ball down the field. He wants to get big chunk plays and do those things. I think what's interesting, Tom Brady has been willing to push the ball down the field. He's been moderately successful doing that. I think where Tom Brady gets in trouble is in critical situations. He still hasn't developed that trust with his guys. We saw against the Bears, critical downs. He went to Rob Gronkowski, who is not necessarily the same player that he once was. As he continues to settle in, this offense will improve, but it's going to be a work in progress the first three quarters of the season.
Cleveland's 4-1. Greg Cosell said yesterday, Baker's playing too fast. He's the second lowest graded Cleveland player offensively, according to Pro Football Focus. What do you see from him?
I think Kevin Stefanski's done an outstanding job of putting together this offense. This offense is one that really utilizes the running game first to set up Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, and the way they're using him, they use Baker Mayfield to pass very early in the game. Because everyone comes in and knows that they have to defend the Browns' rushing attack, the Browns throw the ball more in the first half because they get those eight-man fronts. They're able to work one-on-one outside to Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. He gets the ball out. They run out to leads. And then in the second half, they really lean on the running game. The key will be for Baker Mayfield going forward, what happens when the game is played on even terms in the second half? Is he good enough to make enough plays when they know they need him to make them to get it done? If he can do that, then this Browns team is going to be a team that not only competes in the AFC North they may win the AFC North, but a lot of it will be how well does Baker Mayfield play in the second half of games that are within one score.
Le'Veon Bell, you're a former scout. Does Le'Veon Bell add anything to the Chiefs? Does he have anything left in the tank?
He absolutely has something left in the tank. I think what we will see here is the difference between coaches and how coaches can elevate players and how coaches will take players and put them in a scheme that really enhances their talents. We heard Adam Gase talk about it's irrelevant whether I use Le'Veon Bell right or wrong. Well, I don't understand. I've never been around any coach that takes that approach. In Kansas City, Le'Veon Bell gives them what they need. They need a big body back that can run it, but also catch the ball out of the backfield. And I know people will talk about Le'Veon Bell slowing down, not showing the same burst. But if you go back and look at how he played in Pittsburgh, he never was an explosive or dynamic runner. He was creative, he was patient, and he had an offensive line that allowed him to do so. But even beyond that, he's an outstanding pass catcher and route runner. Andy Reid has never had a pass catcher like this at his disposal. We will see more empty formations where Le'Veon Bell is isolated. That will allow Pat Mahomes to be able to read the defense and really see what the defense is doing. I think this could take an offense that is already explosive and really make them unstoppable because Le'Veon Bell is a chess piece that they haven't had. It will be really fun to see how Andy Reid uses him.
Everybody sold their stock when the Ravens lost to the Chiefs. I did not, but I don't think they're quite as dynamic offensively. The numbers belie that. What do you make of Baltimore's offense this year?
The Baltimore Ravens have to be careful that they don't deviate too far from their DNA. I saw the stats that you put up there about Lamar Jackson not running as much, not being as big of a part of the running game. And what happens is when the Baltimore Ravens try to play traditional football, they come back to the pack.
Yeah.
When they play the way that they played, which is unorthodox, unusual for an NFL team, that makes them different than others. Lamar Jackson is a terrific runner. He won the MVP not only because of what he did as a passer, but because of what he did as a playmaker in the running game. They have to make sure that they feature him as the runner in the running game. And I know people talk about you don't want him exposing to hits. He's your franchise quarterback. But part of the reason he became your franchise quarterback is because of his ability to run the ball. He has to be a runner. He has to be factored in. Greg Roman can't make this team a pass-centric team. They're built to run. They have to run it because they do it better than anybody else in football.
Only a minute left, but we know Dak's better than Andy Dalton. But Dalton is only 32 years old, and he is a point guard who passes well. Not a great scorer, but a good passer, right? He's a distributor. Is Andy Dalton 75, 80% of Dak? Is that fair?
Man, you're really generous because I've seen you throw out this stat all week about Andy Dalton's first 4 years. Well, Colin, that was like 6 years ago. He hasn't played at that level since. I will say this. Andy Dalton is a serviceable fill-in for Dak Prescott. Andy Dalton, if everything is clean around him, he absolutely can be a pass-first point guard. But what you're doing is you're disrespecting the strides that Dak Prescott has made this year. He was on pace to have over 6,000 passing yards. The last 2 years, he has proven that he can be a very effective passer. Andy Dalton can kind of keep the ship afloat, but what they need to do is scale back the amount of passes, keep him on a pitch count, 32 passes or less, run Ezekiel Elliott more, and they need their defense to step up. They absolutely can win the division, but it will be because of the other pieces instead of Andy Dalton leading the way.
All right. All right, that sounds good. Sounds more accurate than my take on it. I appreciate that. Bucky Brooks, give a shout-out to your high school. It's Granada Hills?
Granada Hills Charter. John Elway, our most prominent alumni. Our booster, he hooked us up. Got us helmets and shoulder pads this year. We're going to look like a brand-new squad.
Wow. How about that? That's great to hear. And here's the head coach. Good seeing you, Bucky. I like what he said. That was a good way to say it. He said, keep Andy on a pitch count. That was a good metaphor. That's exactly right. I didn't think of that. If you keep Andy Dalton on a pitch count, 32 throws or less, like Baker to me is 27 or less, Andy's 32. Dak, you could give 40 and he'll make stuff happen.
Well, that's a game plan for the talent that you have.
Yeah, I like that. Keep Andy Dalton on a pitch count. Because I got a reputation of being critical of Andy Dalton because everybody called him the Red Rifle. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Guys like Andy Dalton don't get nicknames. You can't. Not, Matty Ice is a little much, but he did win an MVP. You don't get a nickname as a quarterback unless you have an MVP.
Is that the standard?
It's my standard. Okay. You get a nickname if you're a legend. Jay Cutler doesn't get a nickname. It's the way it works. Check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. Carshield.com. Code HERD. 10% off with the code. A warranty when yours runs out. Jimmy Johnson, the legend, next.